Hi, my name is Drew. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride and emotional withdrawal. Hey, Drew. Thank you, gentlemen. I've had a really difficult time writing this testimony. I've felt that my story is inadequate. I've felt embarrassed by the hand of protection God has laid over much of my life. At times, I've wanted to embellish hard situations to justify my decisions. I've wanted to describe myself in a flattering light and tell you that my region recovery issues have been resolved. My story isn't one of tragic circumstances or long periods of rebellion against God. The summary of my story is simple: a heavenly father calling a prideful and wounded son back to himself. God placed me in a home where mom and dad loved Jesus and centered their lives around him. Dad pastored a church in the DFW area, and mom stayed home to care for my younger brother and myself. Our home was safe and open for any kind of difficult dialogue. Mom and dad followed Jesus, so it made sense that I should too. I knew that I was a sinner and needed help, that God sent his son to die for me on a cross, that choosing to follow him would save me from the pain of hell. In those early years, I learned what was expected of me at school, at home, and at church. I learned how to perform for the occasion, and I learned that life operated more smoothly when I understood and followed the rules. I also found that I was more likely to obtain what I wanted by doing so. In hindsight, I treated life as a game. I defined my desire, identified the obstacles, evaluated my resources, devised a strategy, and played to win. Adolescent fear, immaturity, and insecurities about my appearance left me vulnerable heading into my last year of middle school. That was coupled with abandonment by my three closest friends and the introduction of severe teasing about my appearance, my choices, and my family. In the midst of a 13-year-old's personal pain, Satan offered a false escape: masturbation and pornography. I knew it was wrong and that a price would have to be paid for my choice. I didn't know the price would be so high and far-reaching. I went to my false medicine often and developed an addiction to my drug of choice. It isolated me from the Lord and from my family. During a trip to the gym a year or so later, my dad casually asked if lust had been an issue. We didn't work out that night, but we did cry together as I confessed my sin. My lust addiction at home and daily teasing in public educated me in isolation and emotional detachment. I transferred into a public high school with the intention of following Jesus and taking the punishment I assumed would greet me. Punishment did come my way, but mostly in the form of loneliness. Friends came and went for short seasons of time. I learned to enjoy people without becoming attached to them, and in the process, obtained an unsympathetic self-sufficiency in social arenas. My faith was challenged, and my choices were criticized, but I discovered apologetics, or the rational defense of my faith, and it gave me a weapon to fight back with. Sadly, I think my unsympathetic disposition did more harm than good in those interactions. During these lonely years, God was still kind to a cold and wounded son. God drew friends and acquaintances to himself, and I got to see him work. He continued to move in my life and provided opportunities to represent him well. I learned how to follow Jesus intellectually and with my behavior, but failed to develop any significant emotional connection. My collegiate years were much kinder. God provided friends that loved Jesus and were committed to following him. God grew me in that time, and my Christian friends were a big part of that. Despite a healthier environment, my lust addiction and emotional withdrawal remained. After graduating, I ended up in Dallas, going to Watermark and plugged into a community group. I had heard about Region and knew I had issues that could use help. God used a broken moment and a long, tear-filled night of self-reflection to finally push me towards committing. I badgered one of my community group guys into coming with me my first time. He said he would come once to be supportive. As it turns out, we graduated together a year later. God had provided accountability partners in my life since the confession to my dad as a teenager, but groundwork was different. God showed me transparency in ways I had never seen before. I saw heartbroken men sharing raw and painful parts of their lives. I saw men throwing aside pride and exchanging it for authenticity. God placed me in a step group of guys that pushed each other to fight temptation and grow in their daily walk with Jesus. That time showed me a freedom from my sin I didn't believe was possible. At the same time, God was using my self-employment to teach me a lesson in dependency and trust. He provided for a formerly self-sufficient individual in ways only he could claim credit. Feeling helpless in that lean season and seeing him come through is still a sweet memory. During inventory, he showed me that I had built much of my identity upon the gifts he had given me, that I was fearful of losing them, that I had a vanity problem I didn't want to address. God began to open my eyes to the trail of relational damage I had left in my wake, more collateral from an emotionally withdrawn heart. Step 8, forgiveness was impactful in a surprising way. Growing up, I was told that my ability to forgive people who had wronged me was admirable. In reality, I brushed the emotionally painful moments aside. Holding on to a grudge or mentally replaying the event required more emotional energy than I cared to give. During a time of solitude, God showed me that in fact, I was not any good at forgiveness, that I didn't know what forgiveness looked like. Forgiveness is clearing the debt someone owes you because of wrongdoing. It doesn't require forgetting or suppressing. God used this time of solitude to replay the painful memories of my life from his perspective. With his eyes, I saw a dad who loved me. I saw a dad who hurt when I was hurting, and a dad who was there with me in the pain and the heartache. The next picture he showed me was of a cross on a hill, and scattered all around the bottom were physical reminders of my brokenness and painful memories. I had a box in my hands, and he asked me to pick up the pieces and bring them to the foot of the cross. I started on my task, but realized I wouldn't be able to complete it. If I gave my pain and brokenness to Jesus, I would no longer be me. I couldn't use it to isolate or as an excuse not to care. I sobbed in that quiet space and wrestled with what would be what I would be without my shield of indifference. In the picture, I was still sitting at the bottom of that hill on my knees with that box of pain and loneliness. God knew I couldn't carry that box up the hill, but he knew his son could. Jesus picked me up and carried me to the foot of his cross. He sat me down, held me close, and asked me to put my box at the foot of his cross and leave it. I left my box, turned around, and embraced a Savior that wanted me to feel his love. In Psalm 86, David asked God to unite his heart. In Hebrew, the heart refers to a man's mind, actions, and emotions. God was using region to unite my divided heart. I was granted the opportunity to lead a group of guys at the beginning of November. I've since discovered that region creates a conflict of interest for someone with pride and vanity issues. On one hand, my pride screams at me to present myself in the best light possible. On the other hand, truly leading well in region requires that I lay that vanity down, exposing my sin and revealing the parts of my life that are not conformed to Christ. I've had to confess to shortcomings with my guys, and it's a constant reminder that I am going through the steps just like they are every day. It's been cool to grow beside these guys in their walk with the Lord and bear each other's burdens in heavy seasons. God has continued to open the door to a healthy emotional relationship with him. I still love apologetics and mental sparring, but God has started to couple those loves with a gentleness that is more becoming of his followers. John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I have an increasing desire to know and feel God's warmth and kindness. I'm growing in my ability to empathize and connect with people in a new way. God is uniting my heart so that I might know and love him better. I am here because of the work God has done in my life. The glory and honor is his. My name is Drew. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride and emotional withdrawal.